We've been talking about AHA over the last several weeks, and AHA, like I said, is a sudden understanding, recognition, or resolution. A sudden understanding, recognition, or resolution. It's a point in our life where change occurs and life is different from then on. And we've been studying the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Actually, we call it that, the parable of the prodigal son, but I prefer the parable of the loving father, the parable of the gracious father, because I find the parable is much more about the father than it is about the son. But we've been looking at this prodigal son, and the last couple weeks, we've been talking about how he's in the pig pen, living amongst the pigs, covered in filth and grime and whatever else you can imagine ends up on you in a pig pen, right? And then he had a sudden awakening. He realized where he was at, he realized where he had been, and he realized where he could go or where he could be. And then he was brutally honest. And he was brutally honest with himself. He may have been honest with the pigs, I don't know, that might have been awkward maybe, I don't know. But he was honest with God and honest about his situation, where he was, how he had gotten there, and some of the consequences he may have to face moving forward. And then last week, we looked at AHA can't stop with the sudden awakening and the brutal honesty. The younger son had to get up. He had to get up out of the pig pen, and he had to start and move away from the pig pen, from the distant country, and start heading back home. And so we have sudden awakening, brutal honesty, and immediate action. And so we've been talking about these ingredients. But at any point of, or at any of these points along the plot of AHA, we can easily get stuck. We can get hampered down. We can stop moving forward. A lot of us have a sudden awakening, right? We enjoy the awakening a lot of times. It's this new idea. It's a new way of living. It's something different to do. And so we have that, and we enjoy that for a while probably. But fewer of us move on to brutal honesty. When we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with those around us, we're honest with what got us to where we're at. And even fewer yet move on to the immediate action, where we get up and we start turning back towards the Father's house. When the Holy Spirit leads us on the path of AHA, unfortunately, not every story ends up back in the Father's house. So my question for us on this Easter morning is, how is our AHA story going to end? How is your AHA story going to end? Awakening. Awakening, we hear the alarms and we get up to start the day. But what if our AHA story ended there? We have this awakening, this excitement, and this energy. But that AHA moment only lasts a moment. And we've all been there before. It suddenly hits us that we're on the road to maybe unfaithfulness in a marriage, but then we justify our actions instead of being brutally honest with what got us there. It suddenly hits us that we're living the kind of life that we never thought we would live. No one chose to grow up to be this or to do this or to be in this situation. But we're, instead of saying, I'm going to stop now, we say, well, I can stop anytime I want. And we brush off the situation. And it suddenly hits us that that life in the pig pen just isn't worth it and isn't what we want anymore. But we fail to stand up. And we talk ourselves out to it and saying, it's too late. I've been here too long. I'm too far gone. Or honesty. And we've moved on maybe from sudden awakening to the next phase. We're honest, brutally honest. This is where I'm at. This is what I've dealt with. This is how I'm moving forward. We come to grips with what we've done and how we've gotten to where we're at. God, we allow God to speak into us, to speak truth to us. We confess to ourselves. We confess to those around us. We confess what's going on. And honesty has broken our hearts. What if it stopped there? We wake up and we go through the painful freedom of confession. And I got to thinking, you know, I think it'd be a lot of fun to do confession here, right? I'll get a little box for us, and you guys can come in Thursday mornings. Well, that makes a lot more sense probably, but I like the box idea better, Nicole. So we're going to do that. And you guys, we can do the confession thing, and I don't know, it'd probably be a little awkward though, right? We'd have a hard time with that for a while. But I think confession is good for people. I kind of joke a little bit, but I think that's a great thing that the Catholics do, because there's freedom in confession. There's freedom in getting out what we've done and where we're at. We walk away feeling a little bit better, a little bit freer. But if it stops there, the story's not complete. A story that ends in honesty doesn't create lasting change. It's kind of a spiritual band-aid, right? We put this little band-aid and the wound is like halfway across our arm, but we got this little band-aid on and we're going to cover it up for a little while and stop the bleeding there for a little bit. But that gaping, deep, hurtful wound isn't covered by just a little band-aid. And so action. If we go beyond the awakening, we take steps to be open and honest, and then we take the step to change. What if, like the prodigal son, we got up and we started going back to the Father, we take the hard steps and make the hard choices to change, and our lives are never the same? And they tell us in recovery that the first step back towards the Father's house, the first step in recovery is always the hardest. And each step beyond that gets just a little bit easier. But each piece alone falls short. If we just have awakening but not honesty and action, a lot of times we get on this emotional roller coaster, right? Oh, I'm excited. And I do this all the time. I get all sorts of new ideas and stuff. You guys are lucky that you only hear about 10% of my good ideas. So, you know, we get this awakening. We get this idea. We get a new vision for our future. Life could be better if we did it this way, or if I did things differently this way. But if it ended there without that honesty and action, it just kind of fizzles. And it goes away. And like I said, 90% of my ideas kind of do that, which I'm thankful for probably too in a lot of ways. But then if we have honesty without awakening and without action, it ends up being a lot of self-abuse, beating ourselves up. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Look at what I've done, all these choices I've made. And it becomes a lot of self-inflicted damage that we do to ourselves and guilt. But then we have action without awakening or honesty, and that's just a lot of I'm going to do it on my own power. I'm going to control my attitude or control my behavior, and I'm doing it on my own strength and my own power. This is what I want it to look like, and I'm going to make it look like it if it kills me. And the problem is it ends up killing the people around us a lot of times, right? We end up very self-righteous. I was there. I still tend to go there once in a while, to be honest. But it's very self-righteous. It's very me-focused. It's very condemning of those around us. Action without honesty doesn't lead to a real heart change. But when we put it all together, when we truly have aha, we can see God's fingerprints over the whole story. We can see the Holy Spirit has guided us and gave us the power to take each step. And that is where true and lasting change comes into our lives. But does our aha story end there? Seems like a good ending place, right? We take that first step and we're done, right? Oh, that's my choir of angels singing this morning. I won't do that again, I promise. I shouldn't promise that. All right, I can't promise that, I should say, actually. So, right, that's the end. Right, we've taken that step. We're moving back to the Father's house. We've moved beyond a simple recognition of the problem. We've surrendered our whole lives to God, or a part of our life that we've been struggling with. We've surrendered that. And we've moved forward. And we start to grow closer to God more than we ever have. Our relationships are healthier. Maybe for the first time, we have pretty healthy relationships. We have freedom from something. Something's holding us back. We have freedom from an addiction, or freedom from finances, freedom from whatever, for the first time in our lives. But does the story end there? No. In the prodigal son story in Luke 15, we're going to read 20 through 24 and see what happens to his story. And the younger son arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven. Before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Here's the good news. Aha doesn't end in awakening. It doesn't end with the painful, often brutal honesty. And it even doesn't end with that first step back to a new life in God. God wants to write the last chapter of our aha stories, and he calls it celebration. We have a God who loves to celebrate, and our aha story doesn't end with us. It ends with God. It ends with God. And our God, again, is a God who wants to bring life and joy and celebrates. In Luke 15:7 and in Luke 15:10, we see this pretty clearly about other stories that Jesus has just told. He says, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing over one sinner who repents more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And 15:10 says similar, "I am in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." God is a celebrating God, and he celebrates when every single time one of his children comes home. He never, never gets tired of looking in the distance and seeing that child turn and look at him. He's always sitting, he's always waiting, he's always patient, willing to allow one more, always one more, back into the home, back into his house. When we look at the story, which we did at the sunrise service, we look through the story, the life of Jesus, and that's the gospel. That is the good news for Easter Sunday. And the good news is tied to him so intricately, cannot be pulled and separated from him, because he is the good news. When he came in a stable, in a stinky barn, I imagine it was stinky anyway, we see this glimpse of God in the flesh. And we see him teach and heal and minister and give life to those around him, giving us an image of what the Father looks like, a more complete picture of the Father. And then when he's on the cross and he's hanging and he's bleeding and he's suffering and he's dying, a greater, even more complete image of who God is and the way he cares for us. But the most complete, most perfect picture, if we could have one, of the Father is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning, where Jesus is risen from the dead and he has bestowed life upon his son and upon any that come to the house, any that come to the Father's side. And we see this great picture of the Father and his love, which is a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And it's a Father who's waiting for us come home. So the last question, as we finish up our series, as we close this morning, the last question I want to leave with you is, will you join the celebration? Will we all join in the celebration? And I don't know if your experiences over the last few weeks but I've seen God write aha stories, changes in hearts and in attitudes throughout my life. I'm sure you've seen them, if not in your own life and others, well. But there are some that miss out on aha. There are some that miss out on seeing that in other people and in seeing it them in themselves. And we see that here in Luke 15. as we finish out this parable this morning. Luke 15, verse 25. Now, his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But the older son was angry, refused to go in, and his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But because of this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." And so there are two kinds of aha. The first is the aha where we experience it, right? And each and every one of us needs aha in our life where we holistically, with our whole life, we come to the Father. We also need aha where a portion of our life, our finances, our marriage, our job, other relationships around us, an addiction, we need to get aha from all of those. But we all need to experience aha, the celebrating God who wants to come and connect with us. But the second kind of aha that all of us need to be mindful of, if not have for some of us, is the remembering aha. And remembering aha is for those of us, and I was there and fall into this sometimes too myself, is remembering what our aha was like. When we came back to the Father, when we came and were reunited with him, what our experience was like with that. Because it's been easy for me growing up in the church and seeing different people come back and having their aha stories. And in the past, being resentful like the older brother, angry like the older brother. Well, they did all this stuff. I didn't get to do any of that stuff. But notice how the father treats the older son. When he's out in the field, refusing to come in, the father came out and entreats or pleads with him. Father goes out and pleads with him. As a father, my reaction to someone that doesn't want to be a part of the party is, that is your problem. You deal with it. I'm going to have a good time in here. You go ahead. All right? And I'm glad I'm not God the Father, because he is much better than I am, obviously. So that's my response. I'm going to work on that, so you can pray for me on that. But we kind of naturally do that. But that is not God's response. God's response isn't, "Oh, you're going to have your own pity party, you deal with it." His response is, "I'm going to come because I want you to be a part of this too. I want you to come and celebrate with us. I want you to be a part of this community and this family and this and what we're doing here." Because that loving Father, that's what he wants. That's why Jesus came. Not so the ones that turn their lives around like the younger son come, but that the older son, who is angry or bitter or jealous, can come in and be a part of the party as well. Because we're all in this together. We're all praying for aha. I hope we're all praying for aha for ourselves, for those of you that are in your row, if not for in your row, at least the rows around you, maybe behind you or something. But anyway, we're praying for aha. We want aha. We want to come to our senses, to be honest about ourselves, and to get up out of the pig pen and not just walk to the Father's house, but start sprinting there. But it takes us together. It takes us as a community. It takes us celebrating as one. So what is our story? What is your story? I invite you to the celebration. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are a Father who has never given up, with an unbreaking, always and forever love for us. We pray that you guide and you direct and you lead by your Spirit for those of us that are on the cusp of returning to you in a portion of our life or our whole life, that you will provide us that nudge, that you will put us in a community that will encourage and uplift and guide us toward you. And we pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.